Hello, hello, everyone. This is another episode of The Lore Keeper. I, of course, am Jamie, and I am The Lore Keeper. And this is a podcast where we discuss things from the fantasy genre, like video games, movies, books. Last episode, the first episode, I talked about two of my favorite fantasy books, The Lies of Locke Lamora and The Name of the Wind. And I discussed what I liked about it, what I didn't like about those books. And today we're going to shift gears a little bit. And in the second episode, we are going to be talking about the Elder Scrolls series, the video game series, the very popular one that is turning 25 years old this year, actually. The first one was released 25 years ago. And but we're going to be more specific than that. We're going to be talking about the Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim. Now, I know some people who are fans of the Elder Scrolls series are just going, what? Why don't you talk about Oblivion or Morrowind, one of the earlier games? But I have a very specific reason why I'm talking about Skyrim first and not Oblivion, because eventually I will do an episode covering what I like and don't like about Oblivion and just kind of my take on it. But I'm doing Skyrim first because I think a lot more people are familiar, like not even just fantasy enthusiasts, but gaming enthusiasts and just the general public as a whole, because Skyrim has become such a cultural phenomena, if you will, and definitely a meme. Everyone kind of makes fun of it, and it was released over 7 years ago, I think, in 2011, and it's still going extremely strong. Like, people play it all the time. They've released several versions of it for different platforms, like Nintendo Switch. They've released one for that. They've released a remastered edition for the Xbox One. So that just tells you something about the scope of the Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, which I'll probably just be calling Skyrim because Elder Scrolls 5 is a kind of a mouthful. But so yeah, that's why I'm talking about Skyrim first, and besides Oblivion, which is the fourth game, if you're not familiar, and Morrowind, the third game. Won't be talking about Arena or Daggerfall, which is the first and second game in the series, just because I personally have never played them, and that's because they came out in the 90s, the first one when I wasn't even born, and I just have no way to play them on a platform, so because they haven't made like a special edition or re-released it or anything for any of the newer consoles, so I have no means of playing those games. But if you have played those games, lucky you. And not talking about Morrowind or Oblivion, like I said, because I think only true Elder Scrolls fans kind of know those games. Skyrim was really what propelled the Elder Scrolls series into like the big megastone of fantasy games that it is. And so yeah, that's why I'm talking about Skyrim. Plus, I think that Skyrim is also kind of a crossover hit, because not only does it deal with fantasy, but it deals with a lot of the things that gamers like. Like, it has an easier leveling up system. You don't necessarily do all the role playing that's involved in a traditional fantasy game. So I think that's why it appeals to a lot of people, because it's fantasy elements, but it's not so fantasy that people who aren't like true nerds about fantasy like don't feel overwhelmed, and they don't turn away from just like the scope of the game. So starting off, like I said before, Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim was released over seven years ago on November 11th, 2011. And it has sold, I think, over 30 million, like, copies, units, throughout the different platforms. Like, it's a pretty huge game, like I've said before, and it's won the Game of the Year in 2011, and that just speaks to how critics received it. It has, like, a 9.5 rating on IGN, and people love this game. I mean, the critics love it, the players love it, and I'm gonna be going into the pros and cons later in the podcast, just what I like about the game and what I don't like. But so just a quick summary. So the Elder Scrolls series takes place in the continent of Tamriel, and Tamriel is run by the Imperial Province, because there's an empire. And So in Skyrim, we're introduced to a civil war happening between the Empire and a group of insurgents called the Stormcloaks who want to take the province of Skyrim out of the Empire while the Empire wants to still maintain control over that province. So there's the civil war going on. There is unrest throughout the entire Empire because of the Aldmeri Dominion, and the Aldmeri Dominion is a group of radical elves, you could say, high elves from the province of the Somerset Isles, and they went to war with the Empire and they won, so they seceded and they took the province of Valenwood and the province of Elsewhere with them. So provinces of the Empire have slowly been seceding off from the Empire, and the Empire's strength has been weakened. And your player comes in, they've been captured by Imperial Watchmen in a raid that they had for the Stormcloaks, and you're about to get your head chopped off on the chopping block when, lo and behold, a dragon shows up. And this isn't just any dragon. This is Alduin, the World Eater in Tamrielic lore. So it's basically heralding the end of the world, and Alduin's appearance actually saves your life because the headsman is about to drop down the axe and Alduin appears, and then chaos erupts and you manage to escape in the chaos, and that's where the game opens up. You later learn that your character is something called Dragonborn or Dovahkiin, and a Dragonborn is basically someone with a mortal body but the soul of a dragon. And this is really important because dragons in Tamriel have been extinct since the prehistoric times in the Tamriel universe, and Alduin coming back signals like the return of the dragons, and within the Elder Scrolls series that means the end of the world, because within the Elder Scrolls series they're named after something in the game called the Elder Scrolls, which is basically a set of prophecies about like the end of the world or a specific person. And these prophecies usually come true. No one knows where the Elder Scrolls came from. No one knows who wrote them. Some appear to be written in the past. Some appear to be written in the future. Only a certain group of people called Moth Priests can even read or interpret the Elder Scrolls. And so Alduin's return is in the actual physical Elder Scrolls, and it says that it's going to be the end of the world, but only the Dragonborn can stop him. So your character is the Dragonborn who's going to save the whole world, save Skyrim, and eventually defeat Alduin, and that's the main quest line. And of course in other Elder Scrolls games you have the ability to play as an open world game. So while there is a main quest line, it doesn't force you to do the main quest line. You can basically just go off as soon as the little tutorial section is over. You can just go off and do your own thing. You don't even have to complete a main quest line if you don't want to. And that's, I think, one of the great things about the Elder Scrolls games in general, is that they don't force you to play the main storyline. You can do whatever you want, role play however you want. And that adds to the scope of the game, because there's actually over 200, probably over 300 hours of gameplay within Skyrim that you can do. I've been playing the game since 2013, and I don't think I've done every single quest, objective, visited every location, dungeon that there is. And I've been playing since 2013, like I've said. I've played, probably put in several hundred hours of this game, and I still don't know everything and all the possibilities that you can do. And so every time you play, it definitely feels like a new game if you make new choices, join new factions or groups of players, of people. And Skyrim's, if you didn't know, a single player game. You can't play online, so that is a little different than what some non-fantasy people coming from the video game world are used to. But I like personally playing single player games. I'm not really hip on the whole online thing, but that's just me. And so Skyrim, it focuses around you, the last Dragonborn, the Dovahkiin, and then it just kind of goes on from there, and you can play the game however you want. And One of the great things about Skyrim is, as I've said, the openness of the world. You can join different groups, or guilds as they're called, or factions. So there's the Thieves Guild, the Dark Brotherhood, which is assassins, the Companions, which is like a group of mercenary werewolves, and then the Mages College, or the College of Winterhold, which is where you go to learn about magic and stuff. And each one of these groups has its own kind of main quest line to it, its own NPCs or non-player playable characters for the player to interact with. And it really just helps like bring the whole universe to life, because I think one of the things that the Elder Scrolls does really well is making the world that the games take place in feel real and come to life. Because every time I play an Elder Scrolls game, there's like always like a new NPC or a new line of dialogue I hear, and that just really adds to the depth and variety of the game. And speaking of things that I like, we're gonna now move on to my pros and cons of the game. So we're gonna start off positive and talk about the positives of the game. So one thing I like is the storyline. The writing is beautiful in the main quest line, just the dialogue, the problems that you're approached with, and it just makes it feel more real and more unique. Because fantasy, I think, always has, especially the literary genre, always has like the sense of flowery language and just like grandiose ideas and just epicness all around, because it's like an epic adventure. I think The Elder Scrolls definitely does a good job in delivering that kind of sense to this fantasy game, because nothing feels like little or small. And then another thing that is really good about the game is the soundtrack. Jeremy Soule, who has been doing the Elder Scrolls soundtracks, at least since Morrowind, does an amazing job making a soundtrack that it's honestly like movie quality stuff. Like, it's like Lord of the Rings soundtrack. That's the like level of skill I'm talking about here. And he just does an amazing job doing music that like makes you want to go on a quest, and it's very catchy. Well, not catchy, well, the main song's catchy. That's the Dragonborn song, and it's so good. It's the opening song, like when you're in the main menu that they play, and I love it, and it's so good. And he also does songs like just like when you're walking around in Skyrim that will play randomly, and they're just so good and so great at creating a mood and atmosphere that you really want when you're playing a fantasy game. And so that's definitely a positive that Skyrim brings. Another positive that Skyrim has is just the leveling up system, I think. Because in previous Elder Scrolls games, you had to create a class, and basically that means pick some skills that your character is going to like focus in, and you had to specifically work on those skills to level up. But in Skyrim, you can work on any skill, and there's no class system, so you can literally level all the way up in archery, and then level all the way up in magic, and then you can like level your character up sequentially like that. And I think that just makes it a lot more smooth for the transition, because in Oblivion it's just so hard for me to level up, because I always forget the set skills that I need to work on specifically to level my character up as a whole. And I think that just kind of detracts from the storytelling ability of like what Oblivion could be. And so now we're gonna switch gears a little bit and talk about some of the negatives that Skyrim has, because I know I've been talking a lot of positives about the game, how good it is, but it does have some drawbacks. But drawbacks that I think a lot of people kind of overlook, just because everyone kind of seems to have a soft spot for this game, at least if they're really big fantasy Elder Scrolls fans. So one of the drawbacks I would say is that while the world itself feels real and the stories are engaging, the NPCs, some of them can come off as a little dull, because they just say things that are like repetitive. And I know that's a problem with like all NPCs within games, but there's a degree of like it just doesn't connect with the game and stuff. So that's definitely a drawback, because Bethesda, the software company that develops Skyrim. They had a lot of cut content for the game, but they forgot to remove like some lines of dialogue from that, so there's definitely some like mysteries that they don't elaborate into at all and they don't talk about, and that definitely draws back from the game itself. And then I would say another negative would be just the lack of physical like lore in the game, I would say, which is like, you know, wow, the lore keeper talking about the lack of lore. But I think that's just because while you can, like, if the player chooses to, they can go out and seek it, but it's not like readily available, I guess, in the game, because there's a lot more mysteries and a lot more answers or questions than answers, I mean. And you can do a lot of like outside research, which I do because I'm a nerd, and but it kind of leaves the player wanting more from that, because if you want to know all about the history of Tamriel and the history of Skyrim and why the dragons are coming back specifically and what happened to them in the first place, you're not going to find a lot of answers unless you look. And even then, when you look, there's still a lot left up to like your imagination and what you think happened. Because I think one of the most infuriating things about the whole series, because I didn't realize that dwarves or the Dwemer were in Morrowind up until like this weekend, but that's because I've never played Morrowind. But in Skyrim, there's the Dwemer, and those are the dwarves essentially, or they're also called like the Deep Folk, or Folk of the Deep or something. That's like their one of their names in literature. And they left cities, and they were the most technologically advanced civilization, and then one day they just disappeared and no one knows why, and they don't elaborate that on Skyrim either, even though you explore so many dwarven ruins, and one in particular like Blackreach is very significant to the main quest line. And I mean, these people, like I said before, like the Elder Scrolls, the physical ones in the game, can only be read by the Moth Priests, but the dwarves developed a way to read them too. So that just like speaks to how technologically advanced this race and this civilization was. But then they just disappeared like thousands of years ago, and no one knows why. And they don't go into that in the game. And even if like you look into it, it's like there's not even like a lot of answers on like what the dwarves were, who, like how they achieved what they achieved. And I think that's just a little frustrating, but hopefully that also adds to like the suspense, because I think in life though there's a lot of things that you don't necessarily like know the answers to, and maybe that's for the best, maybe that's for the worst, I don't know. But Elder Scrolls Skyrim definitely has a lot of that in there. I'd say another one of the drawbacks would be just how some of the quests, there's not a lot of variety in how the quests go, because it usually is you talk to a person, they send you to a location, a dungeon, where you have to clear out all the enemies, retrieve an item, and then go back to them. And that's basically 80 to 95% of all the quests in Skyrim, is just going to a place, clearing out the enemies, and then going back to the person who gave you the quest. And that's fine and stuff, but it gets so boring really quickly. And you're like, well, then how do you log in so many hours? And honestly, I don't know. I think that the game's just addictive. But like, if you've been playing it for like X number of hours, like all week, like 60 hours in a week, which you're like, well, that's a little much, but oops. And it just gets really repetitive really quickly. Like the dragons, who are a major part of the main quest line, you have to face up a lot of dragons. You eventually face Alduin, and their combat pattern that they have that's programmed is so repetitive. Like the first time you face a dragon, you're like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be so hard, but it's not. Like you face like your fourth, fifth dragon, and you know that combat pattern so quick, and it's so easy. And you might be a little off if it's like an elder dragon and you don't have like the best armor, or you ran out of the really good arrows. But that's like literally it. They get really repetitive to face dragons. But I think also we have to remember that this game was created in 2011, probably a majority of it in 2010. And so video games have come such a long, long way. And I think that a lot of people look at Skyrim with expectations for the modern, for like for modern games. So that is it. So that's my thoughts on the Elder Scrolls V Skyrim. I know some of you are probably like, wow, like Skyrim's not that great. And I know that a lot of people in the fantasy community feel that way. But I personally really like this game. I like the setting of Tamriel, and I like the Elder Scrolls series as a whole. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of The Lore Keeper. And I hope you guys will tune back in for my third episode. Bye.